What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. It's Francisco Rojas, and got a good slate of topics for you on today's episode. We've got to get into the latest on Kyle Schwarber and the potential that there's a good chance that he could actually leave, potentially go back to his hometown. What is the likelihood of that? We'll get into some sound from MLB Network on the matter. A couple of other things. Winter meetings will be starting on Sunday. And I want to just go into just some notable moves in Phillies history from the winter meeting. So I want to do that, as well as a star center fielder that has waived his no-trade clause with his team, and maybe he's a Philly. And I want to talk about that as well. And there are a bunch of transactions around Major League Baseball. We'll end with that, and I'll keep you updated on who they were and what teams that they signed with. So I want to start with this. I want to start with the latest on Kyle Schwarber, the biggest free agent name for the Philadelphia Phillies that they're looking to bring back. And here's the latest on Schwarber. So, within the last couple episodes, we talked about, there being some interest from the Orioles and, just potential that he could go somewhere else other than Philadelphia. And there was a report that came out from Ken Rosenthal, what he was hearing yesterday. And, he talked about, the first thing that he talked about was Kyle Schwarber and what he's hearing about him maybe going back home to the Cincinnati Reds. He starts the article with, Cincinnati Reds are serious about signing free agent designated hitter Kyle Schwarber. Whether they can actually pull off such an upset is another matter entirely. Schwarber is from Middletown, Ohio, about 35 miles north of Cincinnati. He is interested in a possible homecoming, according to people briefed on his thinking. The Reds offer him the chance to transform their young lineup and play for one of the game's most respected managers, Terry Francona. So that's what Ken Rosenthal, he went on to talk about, delve more into it, but that was kind of what the article, or at least that portion of the article, was about with Kyle Schwarber and going back home to Cincinnati. So here is what I wanted you to hear from MLB Network. This is Steve Phillips on what he thinks about Kyle Schwarber and the potential that he could go somewhere else other than the Phillies.
Kyle Schwarber, meanwhile, Steve, to where a lot of talk on this show about where he will land. And I find it so interesting when Dave Dombrowski comes out in the middle of the season and says how passionately we want him back and what a perfect fit he is. What are the chances he ends up somewhere other than Philadelphia? What do you think at this point?
I think there's a good chance he could end up somewhere else. I mean, I think it's going to come down to who's willing to give him the extra year. He's going to play at 33 next season. And so, nobody wants to go more than 4 years. He's going to want the fifth year, and somebody's going to have to do it. I think this is the time and place for the Cincinnati Reds. If it takes the fifth year, give it to him. Here, you're never going to be in a better position in this time and moment and this place to have a window to win. Everybody would love to have the young starting pitching that they have in Cincinnati right now. Affordable starting pitching. They've got a superstar in Ellie De La Cruz, but they need the aircraft carrier. They need that big bat. Ellie De La Cruz had 22 home runs. That's the most they had during the course of the season. Schwarber had 56. Spencer Steer hit 10 home runs after the All-Star break. That's the most anybody hit on their team. Schwarber hit 10 a month. I mean, this to me is like a no-brainer. He's from Middletown, Ohio. You got Terry Francona as your manager. This is the time and place to go beyond what you've been willing to do or where you're comfortable. This is a winnable division. You add Schwarber with that pitching staff and those young players, I'm telling you, the Reds should make the play. Now is the time.
So he mentions that, that there's a good chance he can go back to the Reds, and that, he makes so much sense for this lineup, and he thinks that they should just go in and give him that extra fifth year. I just don't, I think at the end of the day, you know, Dave Dombrowski mentioned it in his exit press conference, right? That, you know, they're making it a priority to bring Kyle Schwarber back. I think that's their biggest number one priority. I think it probably goes somewhere between, you know, Schwarber bringing back JT and trying to, you know, fix the outfield. And then like 3A, 3B is fixing the outfield along with making trades and involving Alec Bohm or, you know, Nick Castellanos is a part of the outfield. So he's a part of the outfield thing. But, you know, making a trade for Alec Bohm, maybe bringing Alex Bregman. I think those are the priorities, the offseason priority list, you know, in some shape or form. And then maybe fixing, you know, adding to the bullpen or replenishing it in some way as well. I just don't think the Reds are going to go all in and offer him that extra, you know, 10 to 15 to 20, not maybe not 20, but 10 to 15 AAV for the extra fifth year or even extra sixth year. I think when it comes down to it, I think I'm pretty confident that the Phillies are going to give him the most money and that he's not going to end up in Cincinnati or even maybe the Red Sox or the Mets. I think the Red Sox and the Mets, they're looking at guys like, somebody like Pete Alonso. I know that they're interested in Schwarber too, but I think those teams are looking at somebody like Pete Alonso. I know the Mets are, trying to re-sign, Edwin Diaz potentially, and also the Red Sox are also trying to look back to bring back Alex Bregman, which is what I think the Phillies should do, but I think there's probably more of a likelihood the Red Sox bring back Bregman than the Phillies do bring back bring in Alex Bregman. It just feels like at the end of the day, and I think that Rosenthal mentions it in the Athletic article, that the Athletic's Tim Britton projects Schwarber to receive a five-year, $145 million contract. I think the Phillies would be willing to go either beyond that sixth year, or they would go 5 years and add some more AAV to it. And I don't think that Kyle Schwarber is going to just give the Reds a hometown discount. Like, I think this is his last shot. 99.9% chance that this is Kyle Schwarber's last shot at getting a big deal while he's in the major leagues. This is his last shot. So Steve Phillips, what he's saying there, maybe there's a chance he does go somewhere. I don't know if it's a good chance. There's a chance, but he's saying good chance. I don't think there's a good chance. Now, I know Steve Phillips is a former GM and he's an MLB Network analyst, and I get that, and I have all the respect there. I just don't think that he's going to... I don't think there's a good chance. At least from, you know, as a Phillies fan, from what I've read, what I've watched, all that, I just don't think there's a good chance. But Steve Phillips says he thinks there's a good chance that he does not end up with the Phillies this year. And I wouldn't love that. But we'll see. So that's the latest on Kyle Schwarber. So some news on a target that Phillies fans may have wanted in the past. And there's been some intrigue, I think. I've been intrigued from this guy. The problem is the guy can't stay healthy. It's Byron Buxton. So Jeff Passan and Kylie McDaniel from ESPN reported that Byron Buxton is willing to move his no trade clause. That maybe a little frustrated with the Twins, you know, how they sold off almost everything at the deadline last year, including Duran and Bader coming here to Philadelphia. And they're looking to rebuild moving forward. And Byron Buxton, who's been with the Twins forever, you know, for the last decade or so, and he's 31, you know, probably wants to go to a team that's looking to contend. If Buxton had a better track record of being healthy, I would be interested in Byron Buxton. The issue here for me with Byron Buxton is the injury history just scares me too much. And I know he's coming off his probably his best season of his major league career, and that being in part because he was able to stay relatively healthy this year. Hit 35 home runs, stole 24 bases, had a 136 OPS plus in 126 games, finished 11th in MVP voting, won a Silver Slugger, made the All-Star team, all that stuff. Had a great season. Again, his best season in the majors so far, and has been in the majors, has played 11 years. The injury history scares me too much. He's played at least 120 games in the 11 years he has played twice. And I know that 126 game season just happened. I don't care. And he had injuries this year. He had a rib injury and a concussion injury this year as well. I don't want Byron Buxton because the injury history scares me too much. And I know it's a thin outfield market, but I'd be willing to trade for somebody like Jaron Duran, Willier Abreu, somebody else out there that I'm more interested in, or even maybe bringing back Harrison Bader, things like that. I know the outfield situation isn't awesome. Him getting hurt too much, just I'm looking at the situation with Byron Buxton and I'm like, no, I don't care if you just had this season of staying healthy. I'm okay. Byron Buxton, I'm out on Byron Buxton. So Buxton, yeah, I'm curious to know from you though. You can tweet me at @Rojas_media_. What are your thoughts about potentially trading for Byron Buxton? I just even not having to give up a whole lot, it doesn't make sense. The being available is super important. And if you're not available, I don't want you. I'm sorry. You can have all the talent in the world. If you're averaging 60 to 70 games a season, whatever Buxton is averaging in his career, you can be a guy that, you know, could hit 40 home runs and steal 40 bases and have an incredible arm in the outfield, be an incredible fielder, all that, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Like, if you're not available to play, it doesn't matter. I would rather keep prospects, would rather keep players than go after Byron Buxton because the injury history scares me just too much. Okay, so winter meetings is coming up this Sunday, and initially I was going to do like what to expect from winter meetings, and like I don't really think there's a whole lot to expect from winter meetings. Like, you know, I would talk about like it's looking to re-sign Schwarber, it's looking to re-sign JT Realmuto. Who are they going to trade? Nick Castellanos, Alec Bohm, anybody like that? Like, that, you know what to expect. But I thought it'd be a good time to talk about some notable moves in winter meetings history for the Philadelphia Phillies. So Todd Zielecki put out a good article last year, about some notable moves in Phillies history from the winter meetings. And there's some good ones, man. Some good ones before my time as well. 1959, December 9th, 1959, Phillies acquired Johnny Callison from the White Sox for Gene Freese. Johnny Callison would go on to have a pretty good career with the Phillies, played 10 years, so he played a decade, and unfortunately was a part of that 1964 team that would collapse down the stretch, and the St. Louis Cardinals would go on to beat the Yankees in the World Series. But Johnny Callison, in those 10 years, had a pretty good career, averaged about 20 home runs a season and a pretty good OPS in that 64 season, finished second in MVP voting as well, and had some MVP votes in the years from 62 to 65 and would average somewhere around, you know, the 28 to 29 home runs, led the NL and majors in triples a couple of those seasons, and had double digit triples five straight seasons from 61 to 1965. And then in 66 would lead the majors in doubles. So Johnny Callison had a pretty good career with the Philadelphia Phillies. In December 9th, 1959, was traded at the winter meetings to the Phillies. 1974, Tug McGraw was acquired from the New York Mets in a six-player deal. Tug McGraw, Don Hahn, and Dave Schneck from the Mets for Dell Unser, John Stearns, and Max Scherz. And we all know that what Tug McGraw would end up doing with the Phillies, ended up winning the World Series in 1980 and would be a Philly from 75 to 84. And you know, it's funny, like, I didn't know for a long time, I not until I did my research, you know, looking at like his baseball reference page and everything like that, that Tug McGraw was a Met for a long time before he came to the Phillies. So yeah, McGraw for the first half of his career was a Met and the second half of his career was a Philly. Never knew that. And some of you are probably listening saying, how'd you not know that? Well, listen, man, I'm 30 years old. I'm not going back doing, going all out and looking at what Tug McGraw did for his career. But Tug McGraw had a very good career and won a World Series with the Mets and the Phillies. So there you go. Okay, so the next one, Pete Rose signing. Pete Rose was signed to the Phillies at the winter meetings in 1978, December 5th, 1978. And I thought this was really interesting. So the Phillies initially offered him a three-year, $2.1 million contract. It was the worst offer that Rose received, but Rose still remained interested. I think the Cardinals wanted him to come in and replace Lou Brock, but Rose didn't want to do that. And Pete Rose's agent, he told the Phillies that if they found an extra $100,000 per season, that he could convince Rose to sign. So executive, according to Todd Zalecki in the article, executive vice president Bill Giles got WPHL-TV, which broadcasted Phillies games, to kick in an extra $600,000 over the next 4 years to help pay Rose's salary. The station agreed. Rose signed a four-year, $3.24 million contract, which was announced at the meetings in Orlando. It made Rose the highest-paid player in baseball. That's insane. A four-year, $3.24 million contract about 50 years ago almost, right? And was the highest paid player in baseball at that time, would help the Phillies win a World Series in 80 and then the pennant in 83. So it's just insane. Insane that they got the TV to chip in that extra money. I thought that was really interesting. So yes, Pete Rose, highest paid player in baseball after 1978, after he signed with the Phillies at the winter meetings. Okay, December 13th, 2004, Shane Victorino was selected by the Phillies in the Rule 5 draft, was selected from the Dodgers in the Rule 5 Major League draft on December 13th of 04. And of course, we know what Shane Victorino would go on to help the Phillies do in his time here, winning a World Series, getting to another one, and being a part of that divisional NL East dynasty for those 5 years. We know what Victorino would be, fan favorite, flying Hawaiian, all that. 09. Now, what? One of the crazier ones in Phillies history. Roy Halladay and the Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee trades. So Ruben Amaro would trade away Cliff Lee to Seattle, and then they would trade away. Or they would trade for Roy Halladay and sign into that extension. Crazy time where there was a lot going on there. And a year later, Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee would be teammates in one of the best rotations that we've ever seen in Major League Baseball history, a year later in 2011. Okay. And then 2019, a decade later, one of the best deals, and I've talked about it again a million times on this podcast, one of the best deals that, you know, we've seen in Philadelphia sports history. December 9th, 2019, Zach Wheeler signs an $118 million deal. 5 years, $118 million. We know what Zach Wheeler has done since he's been here. The 2 years where he could have made a case that he could have won those Cy Young awards, put up the numbers that Wheeler has put in and year out. Unfortunately, this year, having to get the thoracic outlets surgery, but I mean, one of the best deals that we've ever seen in Philadelphia sports history came at the winter meetings in 2019. And the last one here, notable, and I'm curious to know from you what you think about this deal so far. December 5th, 2022, Trey Turner agrees to a $300 million deal. Also, just of note, in 2022, the Phils would also sign Taiwan Walker and Matt Strom in the winter meetings. But Trey Turner agreeing to a $300 million deal. I'm curious to know what you think of this deal. So far, has the Trey Turner $300 million deal, has he lived up to it? Has Trey lived up to what he signed, a 10-year, $300 million deal? Because I think it's tough because there's arguments that maybe he's not performed in the playoffs. But at the same time, look, man, Trey has improved defensively this year. I know he was bad in 23 and 24. Improved defensively this year. Led up one in batting title this season. Has had a 117 OPS plus since he's been here. You know, averaged somewhere around 20 home runs. You know, in the 20s to almost 30 stolen bases a year. I mean, Trey's been a pretty good shortstop since he's been here. Fifth in MVP voting this year. Has he lived up to the contract? I would say he's slightly below it, but that's not like a horrible thing. It's not a horrible thing. I still think Trey has been good since he's been here. Has he been great? And has he maybe been inconsistent? And I think that's where maybe I dock him down a little bit. Yes, but I think Trey's relatively just slightly under that mark of what you think that whether or not he has lived up to the contract. But I still think Trey has done a good job since he's been here, relatively so. So that's the last one from the notable winter meetings signings in Phillies history. Okay, last thing before we go around MLB, just some things that you should know as far as some transactions goes. Devin Williams to the Mets on a 3 years, $51 million deal. How about that? Miguel Rojas back to the Dodgers on a 1 year deal, his big homer in the Game 7 of the World Series. Alec Manoah getting another shot with the Angels here on a 1 year deal, $1.95 million deal. And then one more for you, Cedric Mullins to the Rays on a 1 year contract. So that will do it for me. Another episode of Phillies Today. I will talk to you soon. Have a wonderful rest of your day.